when you look at the world today, it's sort of interesting to see that there's this sort of like this chaos, this mess in the urban world that we live in. We live in a digital age, and it's more digital than ever before. And I think the words that are spoken, to gain the whole world and yet lose your soul, is even more so profound in today's world with all of the distractions. So how do we stay emotionally and spiritually alive and awake in today's world? Many of us always seem to be in a rush. Why is it that our overbusy digital and distracted world, that it's not uncommon for most of us to miss the tranquilo times of quiet? It seems that in today's world, people lack the ability to slow down and focus. We look at unproductive time as a negative thing, as if we're wasting time, or a means of punishment. I believe the worst punishment our justice system gives out to criminals is solitary confinement. In a similar way, I sometimes send my kids, my boys, to their room for misbehaving, and to them, it's probably like solitary confinement. Anything, no! It's totally normal that we value productive time more than unproductive time. We have lots of projects on the go, at work, at home, and elsewhere. But don't you wish that you had a pause button so that we can stop what we're doing, recharge, refocus, and get our bearings straight? I don't know if you realize this or not, but if you've been paying attention to the last couple of weeks of the sermons that we've been going through Mark's gospel, you might have noticed how busy Jesus' life was. And if there is something we can learn from Jesus' life, this would be one of them. So it tells us in Mark 1, and I'm reading from verses 35 to 39, the next morning, Jesus awoke long before daybreak and went out alone in the wilderness to pray. Later, Simon and the others went out to find him. They said, "Everyone is asking for you." But he replied, "We must go on to the other towns as well, and I'll preach to them too, because this is why I came." So he traveled throughout the region of Galilee, preaching in the synagogues and expelling demons from many people. What we observe from verse 35 alone, and even from the passages leading up to it and proceeding from it, we notice how Jesus had a regular rhythm of prayer in his life. Prayer is powerful. Prayer is how we communicate to God. There is lots for us to learn from the Bible about prayer. And many of us have an understanding of prayer in our own lives. What it also tells us in this passage is that Jesus had a regular rhythm of moving into silence and solitude. These are two things we don't tend to talk about that much. Now, if busyness and being in a hurry are the biggest threat to our lives today, then silence and solitude are perhaps the most effective practices to protecting ourselves against busyness. Jesus used silence and solitude regularly during his life and ministry. And it wasn't because he didn't like people. It was quite the opposite. So, looking back, before it says that Jesus woke up early and he went to a solitary place to pray, what was he doing before? he was with the crowds, healing them, greeting them, casting out demons, preaching about the coming of the kingdom of God. Okay, so Jesus was sort of in an activist mode, if you will. He engaged the world publicly and socially and was with the people. He was among them and thrown into the mess of their lives. So we have to first recognize that when we're talking about silence and solitude, and it's always in the context of a rhythm of life. Because what Jesus knew how to do, he knew when to say no. He knew when enough was enough, when he needed to rest, and when he had expanded his energy physically, emotionally, and spiritually. It was time for him to be with God and to be filled. And it's amazing how much in this story we get a glimpse at Jesus' humanity. From community to solitude, back to community, back to solitude. From engagement to silence, back to engagement, back to silence. And again, this rhythm repeats itself because it's vital. There is great value in seeking silence and solitude in our lives. And we see this throughout the Gospels, not just in this one passage. Why did Jesus tell his disciples to get into the boat? Was it to get to the other side? No. It was to get away from the noise and find a quiet place. The funny thing about the story is how tired Jesus was. He fell asleep in the boat, and a big scary storm brewed up. Can you imagine how tired he must have been to have not noticed that this big storm is going on? And of course, even before Jesus started his earthly ministry, he spends a full 40 days fasting in solitude before beginning his public ministry. In his book, Life Together, Dietrich Bonhoeffer discusses the importance of the day together as well as the day alone, and how both are essential for spiritual success. He writes, "Let him who cannot be alone beware of community. Let him who is not in community beware of being alone. Each by itself has profound pitfalls and pearls. One who wants fellowship without solitude plunges into the void of words and feelings, and one who seeks solitude without fellowship perishes in the abyss of vanity, self-inflation, and despair." Martin Luther, who was a formative figure in the Protestant Reformation, he once said this, "I have so much to do today that I'm going to need to spend 3 hours in prayer in order to be able to get it all done." Now, I don't know what Martin Luther did for those 3 hours during his prayer, and I'm not saying that you need to do that too, okay? But one thing I do know, and I strongly doubt that he was the one talking for all those 3 hours. And I'm almost certain that he was listening, and I'm almost certain that there was deep times of silence. And this isn't just some pontious religious thing. This is actually essential for how to be a healthy and happy human being. It's part of following Jesus too, but many people who aren't Christians have learned this as well. Get this. Studies have been done on noise pollution, and they've termed it a modern plague. Basically, their studies have shown there's overwhelming evidence that exposure to environmental noises has adverse effects on the health of the population. Now, I'm someone who listens to movies and music with the sound up. I like the bass. That being, I used to watch a movie after putting my boys to bed, but I couldn't hear it because I couldn't have the sound up. So I bought a pair of wireless headphones. Adrian gave me that idea. And now I crank the sound without bothering anyone who's sleeping. It's great. What's that? Yeah. But seriously, think about it. With all the noise around us, just even the daily demands of our attention puts a burden on parts of our brain involved in high-order thinking, decision-making, and problem-solving. As a result, our brain energy that goes to being active and just being fully present gets drained, which makes us distracted and fatigued. We can't focus on being creative and so on. And sleep alone, you think that sleep would help, but sleep alone, it's crucial, but it doesn't entirely relieve us of this burden. So silence is partially a remedy to this epidemic. It's good for you. It's good for your brain. It relieves tension and stress. Our cognitive functions are replenished and restored when we're in environments with lower levels of sensory input. In silence, even just the quiet and stillness you find when you go on a walk or being in nature, this allows your brain to let down its sensory guard. The thing is, most of us only know how to go to sleep or take a vacation or to tell the kids to play outside or to turn on the music when we're driving to get away from the noise. That kind of silence might feel like relief at first, but it rarely gets beneath the surface to do the work that our minds and our souls need. Silence and solitude isn't just about being alone, because that isn't healthy too. As I've shared with you before, the quote from Dietrich Bonhoeffer's book, Life Together, you can't just have one and leave out the other. Loneliness and isolation are both huge problems in our society. Many people live alone today. More people get cut off from community, even though we are so virtually and technologically connected. The kind of solitude and silence that Jesus lived with allowed him to go into the crowds and into the noise and still have silence and solitude working inside of him. If we possess inward solitude and silence, then we can both be alone with others without fear and without undue influence by either environment. So the regular practice of silence and solitude offers us a freedom to be alone, but not to avoid other people, to rest and be quiet. But while still being able to hear the gentle whisper of God's voice, like Elijah going on the mountain to wait for God to speak to him. When it comes to praying, like how Jesus did in this verse, I think we need to remember that praying isn't always us doing the talking. We need to learn to be still and to be quiet. In John Ortberg's book, The Life You've Always Wanted, he talks about prayer in this way. Prayer is learned behavior. No one is born an expert at it. No one ever masters prayer. It's okay. This is not a requirement for God to love you. This is not a requirement to be a Christian. God speaks nothing but peace to you and will wait as long as it takes for you to meet him in this way. So why then do it? Well, as with all the other spiritual disciplines, it's because it's good for you. It's what God made you for. It's a gift. God made us to have these rhythms of communal engagement as well as silence and solitude. Silence and solitude are not, in the end, about success or failure. They're about showing up and letting God do the rest. They're just a means through which we make ourselves available to God for the intimacy of the relationship through which only God can do the work of transformation. As a young person growing up in a Baptist church, I was well acquainted with the concept of quiet time. But quiet time, many of you, maybe you've experienced this too, quiet time was rarely quiet. More often, it was filled with thoughts and reflections and readings and wordy prayers. And I'm grateful for being taught how to have a conversation with God. It has and will still nurture me. But that kind of practice isn't really about being alone in silence. So the pressure is not on you. It's the opposite. You let go of all of that pressure and surrender your place in the control seat of your life. But just take a few minutes a day. Start with 5, maybe 10, whatever you can handle. And hopefully you'll be able to work up to maybe longer periods of time. But give yourself a break. If that takes a while and you struggle, because I certainly do, it helps a lot, though, to first establish a sacred place where you always do this. Same place, same time, every day. This makes a big difference. My place used to be Giant's Head Mountain in Summerland. I would ride my bike up. It was hard work to get to the top, but worth the time spent in prayer and solitude. I was never able to keep it up, though. But it was still a place where I could find the time to be silent and to be alone. I would recommend a place close by and easier to maintain. It might be in nature, or it might be in the comfort of your own home. Wherever that place you choose to be, try to make it a part of your rhythm of life. The same goes with the time of day. If you're not a morning person, don't force yourself to wake up early. Instead, choose the time that best suits you. There's no need to beat yourself up when you miss a day or you miss 2 or 3. Again, John Orbert explains it like this. Many people get stuck on a kind of prayer treadmill. They go too long without praying. When they feel guilty, so they resolve to change their prayer habits. They decide they will pray for vast stretches of time and try to go far longer than they are capable. When they can't sustain it any longer, they give up until the next time they feel guilty. We all think we could become Jedi masters of prayer overnight. I think that. but it usually doesn't work that way. Assuming that we are all human here, we will be tempted to quit. You may get discouraged or bored. When this happens, don't play games with your life. Don't play games with the pattern. Adding more time to the day's miss is not going to make you more holy. Find your rhythm that works best for you and do your best to stick with it. Before I conclude, I want to end with this poem. It's actually about the part of prayer, but I like how it ends. I woke up early one morning and rushed right into the day. I had so much to accomplish that I didn't have time to pray. Problems just tumbled around me, and heavier came each task. I wondered, "Why doesn't God help me?" He answered, "You didn't ask." I wanted to see joy and beauty, but the day toiled on, gray and bleak. I wondered why God didn't show me, he said, "But you didn't seek." I tried to come into God's presence. I used all my keys at the lock. God gently and lovingly reminded, "My child, you didn't knock." I woke up early this morning and paused before entering the day. I had so much to accomplish that I had to take time to pray. Let's remember to pause, to take a few moments of silence and solitude before we begin our day. Let's silently together, just for a moment, sit in silence, and then I'll pray for us. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am. Be still and know. Be still. Be. Amen.